Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Hope everybody's doing awesome today. I apologize for not being able to do a show last Thursday. There were just circumstances that were beyond me being able to do it. And so here I am today, and I hope this show blesses you. I call this one, They Began Speaking with Tongues and Prophesying, because we've been talking about the prophetic. And, you know, all the gifts are stirred up by praying in the Holy Spirit. Think about what it says in Jude. Beloved, you know, build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. And so before we start, of course, I want to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make his face to shine upon them and give them his peace. I just thank you, Lord, that they will have above and beyond what they could ever ask or think or even imagine to fulfill their part of your story in Jesus' name. And I just want to say, if you've never visited IHOP's website, it's just such an incredible ministry. You can reach it. Just look online at International House of Prayer. And I know, I believe it says ihopkansas.org, but it's not hard to find. But they're just a blessing to the world. They really are. And so I'm just, they have totally affected my life. And I know if you've never listened to the worship and the music and the teaching, it will really affect your life too. So I want to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of your enemies. You know, if the enemy comes to the door, just ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, there's someone at the door, and I'd like you to answer it, and he will do that for you. The battle is the Lord's, truly. So I'm going to play the recording of the shofar. Our prayer today is Ephesians 1:17-20. I believe I went through 21. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, Lord, thank you for giving us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so that we will know what is the hope of your calling, Lord. What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, your saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of your power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which of course is the Holy Spirit, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places. That is the power that's in us, the power of the might of the Spirit of God, the finger of God. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And so I wanted to ask you some questions. And so you have to say to yourself, well, I have to ask you this. Do you believe the scriptures? And if you say yes, then we have to make a decision that we just can't pick and choose which ones we can, you know, if we're freaked out about it, no, we're not going to read that or believe that. You can't be like that. None of us can. Or if we don't understand something, that's okay. If we haven't received the revelation of it, that's okay. But don't reject the truth. Keep knocking and asking and seeking, because the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, he is amazing. He's amazing. So I want to talk about some of the doctrines of baptisms, plural. And so if let's go into Acts 19:1, because this is so important, because Paul is really laying out doctrines here about baptisms. And this is what he says. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? You got to really listen to this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So obviously, you can believe and not have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And what happened? When the Holy Spirit came on them, they began speaking with tongues and prophesying, and there were in all about 12 men. So he's asking them the different kinds of baptisms. And we know by the word of God, John's baptism was the baptism of repentance. And the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, that is coming into the knowledge of Jesus and receiving his salvation. And after you do that, that's the only prerequisite, of course, and that's, of course, yielding yourself completely to the Lord. Because then after they were baptized in the name of Jesus for their salvation, then Paul could lay his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them. And there were things that happened when that happened. They began speaking with tongues and prophesying, and if you go throughout the book of Acts, they heard and they saw. So the Holy Spirit is action. I love him. So then you have to ask yourself, is it true that everyone believes in the Great Commission? And I know people say, well, of course I believe in the Great Commission. Then you cannot pick and choose which part of the Great Commission you want and then refuse the parts you don't understand. And like I said, it's okay if you don't understand, but don't reject the word of God because of traditions or because you don't understand or have the revelation of it. I know when I didn't really know about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and how the Holy Spirit operated, what was poured out at Pentecost, I had a friend who gave me a little pamphlet. And I remember myself, I've talked about this before, where I sat out in the sun literally the whole day pondering on the scriptures. And it's like I said, Lord, I really want everything you want to give me, but I just don't understand this. This was back in the 80s. And he gave me the revelation because he knew I was looking for the truth. And if you're looking for the truth and you're asking and you're seeking and you're knocking, Lord, give me the revelation, he's going to open that door for you. So let's go into Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs, now here's another thing, you know, we have to ask ourselves. This is an emphatic statement. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Oh, there it is. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. Now that's, when they're talking about picking up serpents, it's not picking up snakes and holding them and showing people that they won't kill you. That is the representation of the kingdom of darkness, of demons. Because it says, we will cast out demons. We have authority because Jesus has all authority and he gave us authority. And so that's what that's talking about when it says they will pick up serpents. although that did happen to Paul. He stuck his hand in some sticks and stuff, and a snake bit him, and they thought he was going to die. And when he didn't die, then they thought he was a god. So that did happen to Paul, but this is not what that's talking about. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. And I was thinking about, you know, the story of Patrick, St. Patrick. His real story is so amazing. If you've never heard it, if you've never really heard about the real story of Patrick, really, really do that. It's a powerful, powerful story. Well, it's not a story because it's real. But they tried to burn him and poison him, and the Lord was with him. And he wasn't poisoned, and he wasn't burned in the fire. And the king's sons, or I think it was a son and a daughter, they drowned and they died. And Patrick raised them from the dead, and that's how God touched the king, you know, the kings that were into wizardry, and they became Christians. Oh, excuse me, please. So I wanted to share with you, so when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out. Now, if we're not going out, the Lord doesn't even, what's the point? I mean, he doesn't really have to do anything of this. He doesn't have to do any of this stuff if we're not going anywhere. So we have to go out. We have to go out where he tells us to go out. And it may be the store, and it may be the bank, and maybe the gas station. It may be in the marketplace. That's really what God wants us to do. He wants us to go out into the highways and the byways. He wants us to be all around us is our mission field. And it says, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. So he's going to confirm his word. He is not going to confirm people. It is not about people. He will not give his glory to another, will he? No. And so in verse 17, it says that they will speak with new tongues. And in the Strong's Concordance 2537, this word, new kainos, or let me say it this way, kainos, means this new, as respects from recently made, fresh, recent, unused, unworn, as respects, substance of a new kind, unprecedented, novel. So that's the word new. And the word tongues in the Strong's number 1101, that's the word glossisa. Glossisa. It means the tongue, a member of the body, an organ of speech, a tongue, the language or dialect used by a particular people, distinct from that of other nations. And the Lord spoke with me when I read this, and he was like, Shar, the kingdom of God is a kingdom. And my kingdom has a language. It's the gift of tongues. The devil doesn't understand it. It's used for intercession. It's used to stir up the gifts. It's used to the mind of Christ will be activated even more and manifested. You know, of course, you have to put the word of God in you. That's what the Holy Spirit uses, is the word of God. But as you begin to pray in the Spirit and build yourself up in the Holy Ghost, like it says in the book of Jude, it says, beloved, build yourself up in your holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And so I love how it said a tongue, the language or dialect used by a particular people. Now, are we not a particular people in the kingdom of heaven? We are. So what are the series of events that happened on Pentecost? I want to just read those to you. Acts 1:4. I really want you to hear, if you look in the older versions, which I believe are much more accurate than some of them today because they've taken out some of the meanings and added their own, it was a command. So it says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard it from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, That's the language that Jesus used. It was a command. And so they were believers. And so this is a separate event. And in Acts 1:7, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. You know, the day of Pentecost was the 50th day in Acts 2:1, and the second of the three great Jewish feasts celebrated at Jerusalem yearly, the seventh week after the Passover, in grateful recognition of the completed harvest. Isn't that beautiful? And so it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues, that same word that we were talking about before in the Strong's 1100, as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, that gift that day was a different gift than what you see if someone stands up. We talked about this last week, how we went through 1 Corinthians 14, because, you know, Paul wasn't saying don't pray in tongues. It was about order. It was about, he wanted to see everybody blessed and ministered to, but he said, I wish you spoke in tongues because I love this gift. I'm paraphrasing here. I mean, he's like, I'm so glad I pray in tongues more than you all. But he's like, in the church setting, you know, he wanted people rather to prophesy to them so that they were blessed, so that they were ministered to. And he talks about that gift there where if someone stands up, I actually demonstrated that last week, that where they stand up and they give a tongue. And then either him, her, or another person will give the interpretation. And so I'm just going to wait because I just gave a tongue and I'm like, okay, Lord, what did that mean exactly? And thank you, Lord. And I just hear him saying that his word is true. There is no word in the universe besides his word that is high and lifted up, and he will not give his glory to another, and his word is lifted up even above his name. And so I also hear him saying, don't add to the word. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. That is the issue today. These are the problems today, because people add and subtract. And born, people who are not born from above, that do not have a spiritual birth, are trying to interpret the scriptures that is interpreted. It is spiritually discerned only by those who are born from above. Thank you, Lord. So let's think about this, because it says that it rested. He rested upon them. The Holy Spirit rested upon them. And so that word rested is so amazing. I love this word rested. It's in the Strong's 25:16. Check it out. It says to set a point to confer a kingdom on one. Isn't that beautiful? Because that is what happened. The kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, poured the kingdom of God out. He conferred the kingdom on every one of us who are born from above, who have that heavenly, we are born into the heavenly family of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Holy Spirit. He conferred a kingdom on us. It says to make the sit down, to have fixed one's abode. So in other words, he wants us to hang out within the kingdom that he has conferred upon us. And it says in Acts 2, after they were filled with the Spirit, the first sign that happened was speaking tongues in their own language. But wait a minute, that wasn't in church, was it? We just discussed that gift too. Whoa, guess they didn't need someone to interpret, because each understood in their own language. Because you see, he has varieties of tongues. It says that in 1 Corinthians 12. So we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. So where did I get that from? Let's go into 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start at verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. You hear that? I mean, he works all things in all persons. If what does the Holy Spirit need? Does he need someone to walk in the gifts of healing for someone? Does he need someone to bring freedom to the captive? What does the Holy Spirit need? If we are sensitive to him, we can walk in every single one of these gifts because it's one and the same Spirit. And so, let's see here. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Just what I was saying. What is the need for that exact moment? What do you need? What do you need the Holy Spirit to operate through you? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues. There it is, various. There's varieties. And to another the interpretation of tongues. But one in the Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he will. So in other words, what does he need? What is going on in that minute? What does that person need at that moment? Because you see, the Holy Spirit loves the world. Jesus loves the world. The Father loves the world. They want people to be touched by his power so that they can see that he's real. And it says in verse 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. And I just love this. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. That's the rivers of living water. And that word diverse in the Greek is 4187, and it means in many manners, in diverse manners, many ways. And I love it because they use they said, well, think about various colors, various sorts, diverse, manifold, varied, various. Because you know we have a prayer language that we can pray as much as we want and allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation, to bring wisdom, to stir up the giftings, you know, to have him bring the word of God that we need, the mind of Christ. And so that is how all the prophetic operates, because when you pray in the Spirit, it's God's language. You know, you're speaking mysteries to him, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 14. And so it says, excellent, surpassing. So we're going to go into varieties of tongues. So I will now show you how you can receive the baptism. Well, I'm going to wait for that. Never mind. Sorry about that. I'm going to wait for that. If I have time at the end, I want to pray for everybody, because you have to know the word of God first before you're going to need to know the word of God, not people's traditions, not people's opinions, but stick to the word by the power of the Spirit and ask him to illuminate for you. In Acts 2:14 through 18, you know, think about Peter. He was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And think, before that he denied Jesus, but he was changed when the Holy Spirit took over his life. So, Peter says this. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose. Because, trust me, The presence of the Lord can be very intoxicating in a most beautiful way. His presence is nothing like you've ever experienced. If you haven't experienced it, I pray that you wait before him and wait for him to come visit you and bring his presence. And think about, is that being crazy? No, think of what it says, that he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you worship and you praise him, he inhabits those praises. And so, okay, so let's go back to verse 17. And it shall be in the last days that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women. Both men and women have these, okay? I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that came to pass in the book of Joel. You know, it says suddenly, but they waited for it since the time of Joel. And so in the same chapter in Acts 2:32, it says, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, remember in Acts 1, he commanded them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And here it is. He says, this is the promise of the Father. He has poured forth this which you will see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, look what he says. He has poured forth what you both hear and see. And so, of course, that happened in Acts 19, too. And when Paul was, you know, asking him about which baptism did they receive. And so we talked about not long ago, too, that Jesus was the giver of the fivefold ministry. So Jesus brought the fivefold ministry when he was raised up into heaven. He gave gifts to men. He did not take away the fivefold. Because you need to ask yourself this, okay, if he took away the prophets and apostles, well, the pastors are in there, the teachers are in there, the evangelists are in there. So what I'm saying to you is he took away none. That was man. Boy, those amazing fivefold ministry gifts that Jesus gave as gifts. So I want you to look at what Jesus said about the gift of the Holy Spirit and what the religious accused him of in Luke 11:9. So this is what he says. So I say to you, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that powerful? And so we've been reading. That's the promise of the Father. And so we're going to stop a minute, and I'm going to play just a beautiful where IHOP is playing. They're singing in the Spirit. So let's listen. So beautiful.
Mama. beautiful. Remember when we talked about last week singing in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14? That is such a beautiful demonstration of singing in the Spirit from IHOP Kansas. And so we're going to go into Acts 10. I'm not going to read the whole chapter because I don't have time, but I want to go down to verse 25 where Peter comes to the house of Cornelius. And it was a very supernatural event because Cornelius had a visitation by an angel. Peter had a trance, and he went into a trance, and it was about that really that God had called men clean. You know, God was calling the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. First he called the Jewish people, and then he called all the non-Jewish people. It's to the whosoever will receive him. And so when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up saying, stand up. I'm a man. I'm just a man. As he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I ask, for what reason you have sent me? Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius. Now listen to this. This is so powerful. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on the cross. Now, do you remember when Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, he's like, I don't know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I don't want my message to be with, enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Think about what Paul said. This is really what this is all about. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone, listen to this, it's to the whosoever who will believe and receive him. His name, I'm going to say that again. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Ask him, if you don't know him, Lord, show me who you are, Lord Jesus. Show me, Lord. I want to know you. I'm not going to actually have time probably to even pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I promise I will do that next week to those who want to receive. Maybe you can prepare this week and, you know, study the scriptures, study the book of Acts, and look up tongues. Look up baptism in the Holy Spirit. Look up Holy Spirit in the book of Acts and everywhere else, and you'll see a pattern of what he did. Well, Peter was still speaking these words. You see, he was talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message, and all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. So you see, they believed the message about Jesus. They weren't baptized yet in water, but they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as he did, just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. And so, you know, when he goes back there to Jerusalem, they were all upset about it, about what happened. And so in Acts 11, let's just go in verse 1. We're just going to talk a little bit about it. And then we're going to play a most beautiful song called Come Holy Spirit. And the worship leader is John Rizzo. "Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, 'You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them?' But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in an orderly sequence, saying, 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. An object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a voice from heaven answered a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.' This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea." Now, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us, okay? Listen to what he says. In verse 12, "The Spirit told me to go with them." Okay, so he was hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit without misgivings. The six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house, and he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also Peter, brought here, and he will speak words to you, by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Woohoo! Thank you, Lord. Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us," now listen to this, "after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ," that's verse 17, "who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. Praise God." So I'm going to say thank you for joining me. Next week, we're going to pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to just leave with a couple minutes of Come Holy Spirit. Thank you for joining me.
Continuing to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this region. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs on the earth beneath. Lord, we ask you today. Lord, we come into agreement with your word. Lord, that which you've spoken and that which you've confirmed in days past. Lord, we pray for the fullness of that which you promised. Jesus, we ask that you would send the promise of the Father just as you did in Jerusalem years ago. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your spirit, that a prophetic voice would come forth from the church, O God. That a prophetic voice would come forth as it did with the apostles, that would turn cities upside down as a testimony of Jesus and his coming rule and reign, O God. We ask you that you would release the prophetic spirit upon the church, that as the proclamation of the gospel goes forth,